Herstorians. I'm your host, Heather Ashley, and welcome to another episode of Women of Her Story, a podcast dedicated to celebrating women who have made or are making their mark on our society. With me, as always, is your favorite waiter from the Olive Garden in your hometown, Steve. What are the specials today?
Oh, you know the usual, pasta and bread.
Excellent. Thanks. Any special sauces?
Yeah. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Thanks for asking. Yeah, we definitely have some. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'll have the never-ending breadsticks, please.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Perfect. We'll get on that. Your order's coming.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, today's Her Story lesson sent me on a journey in researching life insurance. And now I'm a little worried that my browser history might indicate that I'm planning something nefarious.
You?
I promise I am not plotting a life insurance fraudulent case.
Well, I feel reassured then.
Yeah.
I'm glad this won't be a Netflix documentary down the line.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, exactly. We are going to be discussing American businesswoman Bina West and her quest to make life insurance more easily available to women across the U.S. and Canada. Bina West was born in 1867 in rural Columbus Township, St. Clair County, Michigan. Now, there isn't much information, at least not that I could find in my web sleuthing, about her childhood or her early life. But in 1891, Miss West was a 24-year-old school teacher in St. Clair County. During this time, women had very few rights, opportunities for growth, and society placed virtually no financial value on their contributions. They couldn't vote, they couldn't serve on juries, and they couldn't obtain life insurance. For a time, they couldn't even take out policies on their husbands, as it was illegal for women to sign legal contracts. So, if the husband in the household died while owing money, his life insurance policy would be used to pay the people he owed, and then there was usually little to no money left to give to the widow.
That's absurd.
Isn't that horrific?
That just doesn't even...
Oh,
I know. It seems like that happens so much, like, so much longer. Like so much further in the past.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't seem like... That's absurd.
Like, it's just like a throwing stone's distance away. And here's the other thing that's crazy to me. Think about marriage certificates. That means women weren't even signing the marriage certificate. They had, like, virtually, they were just owned.
Because
they couldn't sign it saying that we were part of it. Now,
that's gross.
It's horrible. I was rage researching a lot.
Yeah, I imagine.
From 1839 to 1895, states began passing laws that would allow married women shared ownership of property. And other new rules prevented courts from using all of the deceased husband's insurance policies to pay his remaining bills. So... In the time that she was born and growing up, things were starting to change. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't long before the insurance companies noted a massive increase in the purchase of life insurance policies. In 1839, Americans had 4 million in life insurance. And by 1865, it was close to 600 million. Imagine that. Crazy that allowing the other half of the population to obtain life insurance, you end up making more money.
I'm glad they took note of that, as if, like, that was, like, that, like, of course that's what would happen.
Honestly.
I mean, that's just the next step. That just almost seems like a normal... It seems like a normal thing that should have been implemented, but the fact that, like... It even had to be done with this.
Yeah, it even had to be done just for the bottom line.
They took note of it. They were like, interesting, look at this increase. And it's like, wow, you don't say.
You're allowing more people to purchase from you?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Hashtag math.
Yeah, I'm going to put on my enthused face. Like, come on. Of course that's what would happen.
So things were looking up, right? Until being a woman became a pre-existing condition. Potential complications from pregnancy and childbirth made it difficult for women to receive policies, and when they did receive them, they were wildly inadequate. When the mother of two of Miss West's most promising students died, her eyes were opened to how badly the system needed change. There was no insurance on the mother's life, and the father couldn't afford to hire a housekeeper or a nanny, and they had no family nearby. So he just put the children in separate foster care homes and then went on his merry little way.
Come on.
Now, I don't know the circumstances surrounding the mother's death, but it's always the husband, and it seems a little sus that he, like, immediately put the kids in foster care. Yeah, but that's just what I'm saying.
Yeah.
West later found out the fates of these two promising pupils and was devastated. The girl was hired out as a domestic servant, and the boy was sent to work in a livery stable.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so this was common, because especially at this point in time, the family unit, if the mother died, nobody cared, that the husband didn't care about the kids. That's just not what it was. And he was like, well, can't afford a housekeeper, can't afford a nanny.
Man.
Have fun in foster care. I mean, I guess I'm going to start a new life with a new family.
I guess the times were different, but I can't imagine not being even that a person. Like, I know. I mean, according to them, like, like, back in the day, like, this was, like, a normal thing. But I can't fathom, like, doing that now and, like, trying to legitimize that. It wouldn't be,
yeah.
You couldn't even, I don't know.
I don't think it would be allowed. I think that your kids would have to be like taken from you. Yeah, just, no, not just your head.
Maybe I'm grounded.
West wanted to give women something of their own. She wanted to create an organization to aid women in building their net worth, providing insurance for them, and to also serve as a fraternal society of women dedicated to bolstering self-worth. So should we start selling life insurance? Because this feels really on brand.
That seems like a cool trade for 2021.
And so the Women's Benefit Association, now the Women's Life Insurance Society, was born in 1892 with $500 in borrowed capital. This was one of the first fraternal benefit societies established for and managed by women.
Excellent.
I know. They provided social outlets, assistance, and opportunities to display and develop their unique talents. She emphasized financial support, the home, education, patriotism, recreation, social involvement, volunteer service, and opportunities to expand their horizons.
Normalize developing women's businesses and enterprises for women.
Yes.
That's
and
what
you
that
know
is.
What?
It just seems so normal. It just seems like a thing that should
it
have
should
happened.
Be forever
or,
ago.
Or if it isn't, like, now it should just be tenfold.
Well, it's making me think of the interview we did last season with Tiffany Monique and her organization called Women Funding Women. And it's, you know, it's kind of like they showcase women who are part of it. That sort of thing. And it shouldn't be a unique thing. Not that it's not amazing, but I'm saying, like, it should be just more common practice that's just something that should exist.
Yeah.
And next came time to spread the word. West traveled alone, usually by horse and buggy, around the U.S. and Canada, recruiting women to the society and selling life insurance certificates. She asked women to band together for mutual benefit, entertainment, and expression. Within 10 years, membership was over 100,000. As the society grew, new employment opportunities arose for women in the community. They were employed at the Port Huron Home Office as state managers and deputies around the U.S. and Canada. So not only was this a society to be part of and have a support system, not just financially, but as humans, it also was providing job opportunities that otherwise weren't existing for women in other parts of society.
Yeah, it was a coalition of women for women by women.
Yeah.
Like, that's just,
I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad that they were also opening the doors for each other and providing opportunities, you know, that came
and with encouraging
the job.
Yeah. Miss West encouraged the standard insurance rates and reserve requirements to be their guidelines so that insurers could guarantee the funds would be available to pay claims. In 1906, West achieved for her own society $1 million reserve fund.
Whoa.
1906.
Yeah,
million dollar reserve fund.
Yeah, I'm sure that was like so much money back then.
The
Women's
Life Insurance Society still enjoys the benefits of her efforts from her 56 and a half year tenure as chief executive. It remains one of the leading financially secure fraternal benefit societies in North America. Their assets in 2017 reached $205,850,846. And I always wonder about numbers like this because how terribly specific. Like, whose $6 is that? And, like, why not just, like, pop that $4 in to, like, make it a nice even round?
Do you think they round down? Do you think it's, like I don't even round know. Round down from what? I don't even know. I don't know. Like, how do you get to just that specific
I feel like if
number?
I were treasurer, I would just throw $4 in and be like, nah, we gotta round this
right.
out.
Right, because it's like, okay, so do you think they came, do you think they got this number once and they were like, okay, we're good? Or do you think they, like, counted it, like, multiple, like, do you think they had to get to this number multiple times?
I think they did it multiple
and then they were,
times.
Man.
And then they're like, yeah,
that's
I guess
really
that's
specific
it.
Then. That is that number.
Who's $6?
Yeah, I guess you don't round anything. Yeah. It's just so tedious. But hey, I guess what else are you doing back
exactly.
then?
Exactly. No, that's not back then. That's 2017.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, back then? Oh,
yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah, like back in the day. Yeah, because it's 4 years ago. What are you talking about?
Their chapters across the United States in 2019 contributed to over $600,000 and volunteered over 50,000 hours of service to charitable causes and individuals in need in their communities. Chapter 837 in Fort Gratiot, Michigan, had to get resourceful when COVID-19 restrictions threatened their annual wine tasting fundraiser for the St. Clair County Child Abuse and Neglect Council. They ended up doing a wine-to-go event that was socially distant and rather fruitful.
Wow, nice.
The event received matching funds from Women's Life Insurance Society, and all of the money is going to local children in need.
That's amazing.
Isn't
that
it?
That is so great that they were able to still have the event mm-hmm. work around the necessary restrictions.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And responsible and still making sure they're contributing in whatever way they
we'll
can.
We'll go to Michigan sometime.
Yeah, I like Michigan.
When it's cleared up. You like Michigan?
Yeah. I do like Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, M&M's from there. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Detroit's there.
There's other stuff there.
No,
but
yeah.
No, you're right. Well, you're right.
You know, that's it.
Miss West was unsurprisingly a vocal women's suffrage supporter. She represented the National Council of Women of the United States at the International Council of Women in Geneva, Switzerland in 1908.
Whoa, that's cool.
I know. She traveled the U.S., Canada, Europe, and Near Eastern countries spreading the word that women should have the right to vote. She said, "Women of our society have, by their acknowledged success in the business world, proven their ability to think and act in matters of public importance." Yes,
yeah.
Queen. I just got chills reading that.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. No, that's so good though.
I know.
That's so important.
Vina West was a respected businesswoman, fraternalist, social worker, and women's rights activist. Michigan Governor Albert A. Sleeper and U.S. Senator Charles E. Townsend attended the dedication of the society's new home office building in Port Huron in 1917. In 1923, U.S. Senator Hiram W. Johnson of California said to West, "Your society has always had my admiration. Its ideals for the betterment of women and the preservation of the home strike a sympathetic chord with us all." The University of Michigan gave her an honorary degree of Masters of the Arts in 1924, citing her courage in pioneering a woman's institution to unparalleled success. The Associated Press named her one of the five greatest women in America. And in 1993, she was inducted into Michigan's Women's Hall of Fame. At the age of 86, Vina West died in 1954 and was described by all who knew her as a believer in womankind and a woman's woman.
She had so many accomplishments and, you know, and equally received so many accolades because of those achievements that she accomplished in her life.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it shows a lot when she's done something and then years later she's still getting the recognition that she, you know, obviously deserves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just good that there are people who can see the value in the worth in her work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And because it's important. And I think also something unique about her is her seeing the problems and finding a successful way of addressing them
mm-hmm.
on $500 of borrowed capital.
Yeah.
You know, like right. She was like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do it the way that I think it needs to be done.
Right. And I don't think we hear a lot of stories where there are these women who, you know, are able to, unless they are like born into a certain family where they have, you know, money, like there mm-hmm. aren't a lot of stories where like women are able to, you know, acquire X amount of money in order to like invest it in the community, which is something
that
we hear more about nowadays. But mm-hmm. I think back then, you mm-hmm. know, when we heard about it, it would be for like, or, you know, I don't even remember specifically for like women's stories. You know, there might be some, but I think this is an important one we're able to tell.
Yeah. Well, today, many women do not have life insurance policies. In a study done by the life insurance agency Haven Life, 67% of women have a policy, while 79% of men have one. Within this study, they found that women bought smaller policies than men, insuring their lives for about half the amount men insure their lives for. The average policy for women was $231,342 compared to $423,102 for men. Those who didn't have a life insurance policy were asked to provide a numerical value for which they would purchase one. The average for the men's response was $355,348, while women said $175,423.
Wow.
Now, I'm telling you, I went down some crazy holes
here. That's
so
interesting. I've never actually thought about it myself.
How much you would insure your life for?
Have you thought about that?
Well, let me...
Oh, she's thought about it.
Oh, well, just because of this research.
Okay.
Okay.
Hopefully.
So the average incomes for women in this survey was $52,484, while men's was $72,482. The traditional rule of thumb for insuring is you're supposed to insure yourself for 5 to 10 times what your current income is. And women earn less than men and are more likely to take on the role of child caregiver, with 83% of the women indicating that they take on that role, and then 57% of the men saying that they do in the household. So if we go off of income specific, sure. A man's policy, if the woman is in the child care facilitator, should be higher. But I believe this thought process is wildly antiquated. Life and family roles are way more than income. So let's say a woman is a stay-at-home mom. We have to take into consideration the value of the unpaid roles that she provides in the home. Salary.com did a study in 2019 to give their best estimate based on real-time market prices of all the jobs moms perform, such as housekeeper, dietitian, daycare teacher, network administrator, social media communicator, recreational therapist, event planner, interior designer, staff nurse, tailor, and more. The median annual salary is almost $200,000. Okay? This means that their policies should range from $891,000 to roughly 2 million.
Yeah, that policy is so...
Because think about, truly,
but I really like the way you brought that math into it. That was good. That was good. You brought the guns out.
Because truly, I'm going back to...
Agreed, of course.
You know, Bina West's students, the mother who died, the father couldn't afford to hire someone to take care of all the things that she was doing, that the mother was doing. He couldn't afford it. So, I mean, he took a drastic measure and said, separate the kids, stick them in different foster care, whatever. It's fine. I'm still mad. I'm a little sweaty about that. But no, it's just, it's a very different system that should be used to calculate these things than this old one, because we have, I think women have been told our value is less for so long that we don't even know how to value our contributions within our own households. In saying that most women on the average who didn't have a life insurance policy were like, I mean, I guess like what, 180,000? Like, that's good, right? I'm sorry. Honey, no. Honey, no. And it's
unfortunate.
It's insane.
It's really unfortunate that like it's the system is you know, seems to work for men. You know, in terms of
I mean, just from start to bottom, like, that's salary, yeah, inequality, and then
easily what women do, you know, with work and then at, you know, just in general, definitely.
It's also something is more so than the I realized I forgot to list this in the survey about the life insurance. Of all the people asked, they asked, it was basically like, is your family dependent on your life?
Mm-hmm.
And every single I think it was like 98% said yes, and yet they've valued their contributions within that dependence so low that they're not even, they don't even think of it as being valued less. They literally value their life less, and it does, they don't even bat an eye in the fact that their husband's life insurance is twice, if not three times more than what theirs mm-hmm. is. And it's because it's different now, like as far as being a woman isn't a pre-existing condition, except it kind of is sometimes, but with obtaining life insurance. But then, yeah, they're saying that even the women who have them are just so, they're just not enough. And I think it's high time that we realize the value of what we're contributing to our households. And
I think it's time people start using high time more. that's one thing. But number two, you're absolutely right though. I think the scale should be balanced. I mean, I feel like, you know, that's the point of this podcast, and that's just what we hope 2021 in the future will bring, is that the you know, the scale will be tipped in, you know,
challenging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we'll make sure, you know, we'll hope that we can have that equal sort of yeah. pay and compensation for everyone's work that mm-hmm. they end up doing, not just.
And then also valuing, you know,
unsung hero women.
And then considering other things within your life. Like, I truly had not actually thought about life insurance before. And I listened to a lot of, you know, true crime podcasts. So you would think I would have thought about life insurance more, but
yeah, I know. I've been wanting to make a comment, but I was like, no, I need to be serious about this. No, I don't want to break. I didn't want to.
It's like,
yeah, but
it's not something I've thought about for myself.
When they take out the life insurance
on their partner, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, without their partner's, yeah,
mm-hmm.
which is different than this one, which is getting a life insurance for yourself.
Now, but I'm not even mad whenever you hear the story of like the women took out the insurance policy on the husband. I'm just now, like after hearing this, I'm like, well, you know what?
It's probably because
like,
they're, you know, they
after all these years, I'm like, okay, get yours. Like, damn, I'm upset you committed the crime, but like, you know.
Yeah,
get your money.
That's
years of not getting your yeah, money. You know what I mean? I yeah, absolutely understand that heartache.
It was such an interesting.
That's awful. That's like you need to get your dues. Like dues need to be gotten. But I'm not condoning any criminal activity.
He's not telling you to commit insurance fraud.
No, I wouldn't even. No.
He's like, I don't even know how to tell someone
I
to commit insurance
even,
fraud.
No. You're not getting this guy on that.
No, but it was something where I hadn't considered that women couldn't get policies before because, and we couldn't even get policies on our husbands because we weren't allowed to sign legal documents. It was just something that truly had not actually entered my mind. So it was a really interesting one to research.
I feel enlightened about
this topic. You feel educated?
Particularly because I wasn't too familiar with the concept of a life insurance policy in the sense that women's individuals were also lower than men, and that it was mm-hmm. calculated by salary, and how messed up, of course, that is.
Yeah.
But, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Learning new
things. And being a West, though.
Yeah. Love
she's
her.
She's a hero.
She's a hero, and I'm going to leave you guys with a quote from her. "There is nothing unusual about success. I only carried out my ideas. Too many people fail because they are afraid of other people's opinions. Especially this is true of women. The only thing to do is to go ahead." Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you have to push the envelope like that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? When you when your purpose is to serve the greater good in this case, I think it's to like, you know, it's to create pavement and, you know, push a proper agenda.
And I like to think that this was said in response to them being like, "Wow, you've created a women's society run by women for women. You're so successful." And she's like, "It's not unusual to be successful. Like, it's not I just did what I thought I should do."
Yeah.
And, you know, it's more normal. Right.
Like, what she was doing.
Yeah.
She was seen as, like, someone who was...
They're like, "Oh, what a radical.
Yeah,
women's life insurance." Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, she's a maverick, and she's like, "No, I'm just doing this because no one's doing a group for women, and we need that now more than ever, and we need to fund each other." So, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
why are we still talking about this? Can I go? Can I go do this? Can I go? Can I go?
Well,
man,
yeah.
All of this story has made me just
open some weird doors for you, right?
I was gonna say hungry for pasta and bread. That's what I was going
Thank
to say.
Thank you, favorite Olive Garden waiter in my hometown, Steve.
Yeah, make sure you tip, please.
We'll
you know,
see.
I brought, service I, was I, okay. I had good service. You know, I had some zingers. You know, I brought food.
Well, thank you, historians, for tuning in again. Come back this Friday for an interview with award-winning screenwriter and novelist Amy McCorkle. In this interview, she talks about her memoir, Letters to Daniel, that is becoming a movie, and it is about living life with bipolar disorder and the many misconceptions surrounding it and other disabilities. She talks about why and how she writes like she's running out of time. She's written like 40 books. It's insane. And she talks about so much more.
Nice little Hamilton drop.
Yeah.
Right there. That was...
Don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends to give a listen so that they can hear these amazing stories twice a week. Follow us on the social media. Twitter at
The Her Story Pod.
Instagram at
Women of Her Story Podcast.
And visit our website at
OfHerStory.com.
Until Friday, be safe, stay healthy, and show the world what you're made of.
Wear a mask. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.